All right, well, here we go, Shoreline. Listen, I want to tell you a little bit about Hideaway. You probably noticed, I was not teaching at Hideaway a couple of weeks ago. Jermaine did a great job. Let's hear it for Jermaine, teaching all the messages there. Instead, I got to be in charge of Flamingo football, which meant I spent a lot of time in storage over there in the tower that Watermark owns, going through and finding footballs and cones and flamingos and bandanas and paint to mark the fields and all this stuff. And in our storage area, while I'm getting all this stuff ready and preparing to put it on a trailer and take it out to Hideaway, I noticed this tub that's sitting up here on stage next to me. And if you can't see it, it just says the words high school on it. And I didn't really recognize the tub. I was like, what is that thing? And I went over to try to move it, go, what's in this? And just, it is very heavy. And this tub is gonna help us get where we're going tonight. It's gonna help illustrate the need for what I'm gonna teach you tonight. We're gonna come right back to this tub, but before we get to the tub, I wanna recap for you guys where we're at this year. We're doing something different in Shoreline. You know, we only meet here and gather all together once a month to worship together, to hear a testimony, and then to be taught from God's word. But this year, as we meet once a month, we're gonna do a series that stretches out throughout the whole year, and we're calling the series Regeneration. And what we're doing is we are giving you the student version of this program that happens at Watermark for adults every single Monday night. The program's called Regeneration. And here's what they do. Every Monday night, if you want to go to Regeneration, you commit to being a part of it for at least a year, sometimes a year and a half. And you go through daily lessons. You have book work. You do homework every day. And there's 12 different steps that you learn about when it comes to finding recovery in Christ when your life is broken. So if your life's broken in any way and you're an adult in our church, you can go to Regeneration and work through all sorts of things that have happened to you that have caused hurt in your life, anger that you have, bitterness, as you just heard, you know, described a little bit, or like habits that you're stuck in, like, man, I just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Or maybe it's even just like a defect in your personality where you're like, man, this seems to be a problem for me and I need to go figure out like where it came from and what I can do about it. That's why people go to Regeneration. But we get all these phone calls from teenagers saying, hey, can I go to Regeneration? We say, no, the thing's just for adults. Well, not for much longer. Because our goal is to do this, to take the 12 steps of Regeneration and the year-long program and condense it down for you in the 7 steps that just takes 10 weeks to go through at a time. And we hope to launch like a program on Monday nights for teenagers starting hopefully next year, maybe the year after it, but maybe even next year, next fall, where you could go through 10 weeks and you could learn these 7 steps and how to walk them every day for the rest of your life so you can find hope and healing and freedom and security in Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? But I don't want you to have to wait till next year. So we're teaching you Regeneration at Shoreline this year. So if you listen and apply the things that we teach you throughout this year, you come back month after month, you will have gone through Regeneration. If you listen and apply and walk out these steps. So let's recap what we did last week. Last week was step 1 and we just made these 3 points. We made the observation that brokenness is everywhere in this world, including our own life. Like you would have a hard time arguing that this world isn't messed up and broken and that messed up and brokenness hasn't made its way into your own life. And the second point we made was this, is that sin is really the source of all brokenness. We can trace this brokenness all the way back to the creation of the world, the first man and woman, and their fall from God, the rebellion from him, and the rebellion in each of our own hearts, the sin in our own hearts. It's not Adam and Eve's fault that there's brokenness, it's our fault too. And so, if there's brokenness everywhere, including our own lives, and sin is the source of all brokenness, we concluded this, that the start of healing from the brokenness that we experience is help from something outside ourselves, because if we're the problem, we can't also be the solution. So we summarize step 1 this way. Step 1 is just saying help. In step 1, we say we're broken and we're powerless to heal on our own, and we admit that we desperately need help. And so I'm so glad we have month 2 here to talk about step 2, because that's kind of just like a downer. Just going, help, the world's broken, I can't fix it, I'm stuck, I desperately need help. Well, step 2, here to the rescue. This is tonight's step. This is what I'm gonna teach you. Step 2 is entirely trust God. Just a little preview, we're spelling the word healing. So you have help, starts with an H, entirely trust God, starts with an E. Entirely trusting God means this, believing that a powerful and loving God exists, we turn our lives completely over to him. Believing that a powerful and a loving God really does exist, we turn our lives completely over to him. So to summarize, if step one is I can't do it anymore, I can't fix my life, I can't handle life, step two is God can. I believe there is a God who can. So let's go back to the tub. The contents of this tub is gonna help us understand our need for step two. Here's where this tub came from. As I opened it up, as soon as I opened it up, I tried to pick it up, then I opened it, I remembered. This tub's from 2015. In 2015, a group of seniors got up at a shoreline just like this, and they talked to their younger peers about how exhausting high school can be. Can I get an amen? Is high school exhausting? And here's how they did it. They talked about how exhausting just like the schedule and the burdens are, but also like the pressures that come with it and the emotional byproduct that comes with it and then the acting out and the weight of just all of life that you experience in high school. And they invited the younger kids to write down the burdens that they were carrying through high school on a rock to demonstrate the things that were weighing them down. So this tub, you can see it, is full of these rocks. And these rocks have things like lust and anger, insecurity and apathy, porn, acceptance, self-centeredness, drugs, deception, acceptance again. And these were the things that were weighing those kids down. And so we collected all these rocks afterwards, and I'm telling you, reading through them, if you go through all those rocks, it's really an eye-opening reminder that high school can be really hard. Again, can I get an amen? High school can be really hard. And as I looked through these, it made me remember the burdens that I carried in high school. And so I wanna show you a picture of me when I was in junior high. We'll put it up on the screen. This is David Peniel. Yeah, thank you. In junior high, and look at how happy I am. I mean, there is not a care in the world on that guy's face. He is light as a feather. He loves having braces. That year, this little dude was the student body president at his school, so he was pretty cool. He was the lead in the school play. Life was great, but even as an eighth grader, little David was looking forward to high school. Do you remember when you looked forward to high school? When you thought, man, I'm gonna have more freedom, I'm gonna get my driver's license and be able to do whatever I want. I thought, man, when I get to high school, I'll go through puberty and girls might like me. I just thought, high school's only gonna get better. I'm gonna play basketball on the varsity team. Like, this is gonna be great. Well, let me show you my picture my sophomore year of high school. There he is. Things did not get better for David Peniel. I peaked in eighth grade. And you know, the amens I got from you, I remembered when I looked at these rocks, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember the burdens of high school. And if you look at that picture, you can see it on that boy's face. You can't see exactly what they are, but I'm about to tell you what they are, and I'm gonna put them in this bag to show you the weight that I was carrying and the weight that some of you may be carrying. You see, when I was in high school, I wanted to be accepted by everyone, parents, coaches. I wanted my teachers to accept me. Every different group of kids, like the athletes, the band kids, the smart kids, like I wanted to be a part of every single one of them. Even like the kind of rough kids that were getting into trouble, I wanted them to like me and accept me. I wanted everyone to like me. And that was a burden because it was impossible. There were always people who just couldn't stand me and didn't like me and wouldn't accept me. I wanted to be liked by girls, but I kept getting friend zoned. Can you imagine? How did that happen? I mean, every girl, Allison Moore, Ashley Starr, Brittany Bailey, you name it, friend zoned. Nessa Escandari, I liked her. Okay, how about this one? I got three more rocks here. I wanted to be a strong Christian when I was in high school, probably like many of you, but I was secretly struggling with lust, looking at pornography, and masturbation. I wanted to be an athlete, but I didn't make the basketball team. I wanted to please my parents by getting straight A's, but the workload of every single class got heavy, and I was burdened, and it was wearing me out. And here's another thing. I wanted to be liked by everybody, but I wanted to be a good Christian, and I became judgmental and condemning of the kids in the party crowd. And that's a burden, always trying to, you know, take other people's problems and tell them what they should do right. But here's another thing, is I secretly wondered what it would be like to do the things that they were doing. And I was tempted to try it. And so now I'm burdened by both temptation and guilt and hypocrisy. This gets pretty heavy. And these are the things I carried around all through high school. And so my question I want to start with today is, how about you? What burdens are you carrying tonight? Like when you got out of the car over there or over here and you walked in this room, what did you carry with you? What is weighing you down? When I say high school's hard, high school's heavy, what did you think of? And I want you to like really think, like what are the things that keep you up at night? What are the things that you worry about when you're in the car? What's wearing you out? What would be on your rocks? And as you think of these burdens, all the things that make high school hard and exhausting, I want you to know this right up front. There is hope. I believe that there's a God who is willing and able. There is a powerful and loving God that wants to help you with these burdens. And I want to show you tonight that Christianity, guys, Jermaine already said it, Christianity is about so much more than just one time having some spiritual, emotional moment, having this high where you pray this prayer and you ask Jesus to forgive you so you can stay out of hell. Christianity is so much more than that. It is a daily, real relationship with a powerful and loving God who you can depend upon to help you carry your burdens. That's what I want to show you tonight. And so for step two, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to focus on one simple verse. And then we're going to see in this verse an invitation. An invitation. We're going to see the guest list, who gets invited to this invitation. And lastly, we're going to see a promise. So in Matthew 11, 28, it's going to be on the screen. Jesus is talking to a huge crowd of people. And this is the only verse we're going to look at tonight. And we're really just going to meditate on it and think about it for a little bit. He's talking to a huge crowd of people, probably thousands of people who have flocked to him and are following him because he's teaching these words that they've never heard before. He's proclaiming truth that is resonating with their souls. Plus, he's healing people. He's working miracles left and right. Blind people are seeing. He's calming storms. Lame people are walking. Sick people, their sickness is going away. Dead people are being raised back to life again. And so they're all coming from all over. It says there were like 10 towns people came from and they're following Jesus. And then he turns to the crowd and he says this to a whole crowd of people, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So let's look at the invitation. Here's what the invitation is. The invitation is come to me. Don't come to a philosophy. Don't come to, you know, a program. Don't come to a way of living. Don't come to your authentic self. No, Jesus says, come to me. Why would you want to come to Jesus? These words, come to me, I want to tell you why you'd want to come to him. They were spoken by a man who is the subject of this book. This is not just one book. This is 66 books. Did you know that? The Bible is made of 66 books. And these books were written over the span of 1,500 years by 40 different authors. And Jesus is the subject of every single book. Every book in the Old Testament is pointing to and looking forward to and foreshadowing the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And every single book in the New Testament is glorifying and exalting and magnifying and pointing to the fact that the Messiah had come. This entire book, written over 1,500 years, 66 different books, 40 different authors, is all about Jesus Christ. Why would you want to come to this man? He's the man whom over 300 prophecies, hundreds of years before he was born, were written about. And you've heard the story that of the mathematician in California that got his graduate students together, and they said, what's the probability that all of these 300 prophecies would be fulfilled in one guy? And they said, we can't even figure that out. The number's too big. Let's just take 8 prophecies. And they decided that the probability of 8 of these prophecies randomly being fulfilled in one person were the same as if you were to cover our entire state of Texas in 2 feet deep of silver dollars and mark one of them, mix them all up, walk around blindfolded as long as you want, and then bend down and pick up the one you had marked. That's the probability of just 8 of the 300 prophecies made about Jesus being fulfilled in one person. And he fulfilled every single one of the 300 prophecies that were written about him. This is the man who I already said gave sight to the blind. He healed the sick. He calmed the storm. He rose from the dead. He predicted his own death and his own resurrection, and then he did it. He appeared after his resurrection, after Romans had killed him and put him in a tomb and guarded it. He appeared to more than 500 people alive. And his followers who were cowards, who were hiding, who were denying him when he was on trial and when he was being murdered and were hiding away after his death, every single one of them went on to proclaim his resurrection and be martyred, be killed for it, because they wouldn't shut up. This is the same man who literally reset the way we tell time. You know it's 2018 AD. AD means Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. I mean, the whole way we tell time changed because Jesus came on the scene. He's the man who offers forgiveness for sins and hope for life after death. He's the same person who transformed the life of Meredith Harwell. And last month you heard Wilson Whitehead, and at Hideaway, you heard Abby Holland and Rachel O'Brien, and he's given so many more in this room hope. He is a powerful and loving God in the body of a man. And so I want to challenge you guys tonight, as we look at this invitation, come to me, to seriously consider this invitation of Jesus. Here's the thing, guys. Seriously consider this invitation. Jesus says, come to me, and here's the problem. I think so many people in high school are content to come to a knowledge of Jesus, but to not actually come to know Jesus. I mean, it's a very different thing. It's a very different thing. You can know about somebody and never know them. And it's so fun for me to see y'all's names on small group rosters and then in passing somehow meet you and be like, oh my gosh, I saw your name. You were on the small group roster and I've known about you, but now I know you. And to maybe spend time with you, to watch you play flamingo football, to get to know you in some circumstance. But you understand the difference between knowing about somebody and actually knowing somebody. And the invitation from Jesus is, come to me. And I want to ask you to consider this. When is the last time you came to Jesus? Like, just stop and think about that question. When is the last time I actually came to Jesus? Not came to a meeting about Jesus, not went to a school that says Christian and teaches me about Jesus, not heard from about Jesus from my parents, not listened to a song that's about Jesus. Like, when's the last time you actually felt like you came to Jesus? Have you ever even tried that? Have you ever tried? Do you know what that means, to come to Jesus? Not just come to knowledge of Jesus. Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to hear Jesus speak to you? Because you know a relationship is two-way. I don't think we'll ever find rest from these burdens that we're carrying, the burdens that you brought in here, until you learn to come to Jesus. So let's talk about who Jesus, this powerful and loving God, invites to come to him. Let's look at the guest list. Jesus says, come to me. Who gets to come to me? All those people who are good enough know. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Guys, get this. The only qualification to come to Jesus is to know that you're weary and you have burdens. Let me say that again. The only qualification that you have to meet to come to Jesus is to know that you're weary and carry heavy burdens. And I think so many times we get this wrong. I've heard people say stuff like this: I can't be Christian, I'm not as good as you. I'm not as good as that kid over there. I mean, there's good kids in your school, and if you're not as good as them, you don't feel like you have hope to be a good Christian. Let me just tell you, that's not an idea from Jesus. I think the opposite is true. I think the people that understand their need the most are the closest to actually coming to Jesus. Jesus said it's the sick that need a doctor, not the well. And so people that know their need, know their weariness, know their burden, they are the ones that are on Christ's guest list. Another thing I've heard people say that has to do with this invitation is that Christianity is too narrow-minded. They've heard Jesus say things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And people say, Christianity is way too exclusive. And I understand that. In a way, it is. But in another way, it is the most inclusive of all religions. Do you understand this? Jesus is the most inclusive of all gods. Because he says to me, he says to you, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. This image helps me out with this. This is the image of a bomb shelter. If there were to be word coming that there were a nuclear bomb, Jesus is like the bomb shelter. Because word has come of God's judgment. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you're not good enough to spend eternity with God in heaven. And his judgment is coming for you. And there is only one way to be safe for that judgment, to have someone else pay the penalty for your sins, die in your place, a perfect sacrifice, and that is Jesus Christ. And so when the fallout of God's judgment is coming, there's only one door in, but everyone is invited to come through that door. And so that's what we're doing as Christians, is we're going out into the world and we are saying, come, everyone, come. Come meet Jesus. Come and see. There is a way to God. There is a way to be safe. If you were to die tonight, you can know for certain that you would spend eternity with God in heaven through Jesus Christ. Everyone come. There's one way in, but everyone is welcome. The guest list is all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. So if you feel weary and you're carrying a heavy burden tonight, you're in a very good place. And so what happens when we come to him? I think sometimes we think when we come to Jesus, he's going to condemn us and be like, what is wrong with you? How did you get all those burdens? Or here's your punishment. This is what you have to do. Or maybe we're afraid Jesus is gonna add more burdens to us. All right, here are the list of things you have to do to make up for all the things you've done so that you can get into heaven and be with me. But instead, Jesus has this promise, and this is the last thing we're gonna look at. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and here's my promise, I will give you rest. When we come to Jesus, he promises you rest. And I want you to note this, and I want you to understand this. Jesus promises to give you rest, but he does not say how. He just says he will. Jesus doesn't say, here's how I'm gonna give you rest. I'm always gonna magically make your burdens disappear. He doesn't say that. Sometimes he might. He might take your burden away, but sometimes he might just come alongside you and help you carry it. Sometimes he might strengthen you. Sometimes he might bring other people in your life to help ease that burden. Sometimes he might show you how your burdens are actually a blessing and he might make you thankful for it. I don't know how he gives you rest. It's different every time. But I think sometimes we don't come to Jesus and we don't believe his promise for giving us rest because we don't know how he's going to do it. We just know that he says he will. We don't know how. And if you're going to respond to Jesus' invitation, and I would say if you're going to ever have relief from the burdens that you carry, you're going to have to come to him in faith. Simply believing in his promise. And now you might say to me, David, that's just too hard. I don't know what that means to come to Jesus with all of my burdens and just be like, okay, Jesus, I'm here. Give me rest. Like, what does that mean? That seems too confusing and too hard. And I want to tell you guys, it's not that confusing. We do it all the time. I don't want to brag, but I get invited to a lot of things. You know, we're talking about invitations tonight. I got invited by Mr. and Mrs. Scott Buchanan to Madison Buchanan's wedding. I got invited to Rebe Long's 29th birthday party. Pretty cool. I got invited to Jermaine and Hannah's wedding. If you would like to crash it, just send me a text message. It's December 2nd. I'll let you know where it is. I got invited to vocalist Dinah's wedding, Ethan and Dinah. That's pretty cool. But the one I really want to talk about, which is special, is Katie Lightfoot in the house? Is she here? No, Katie? No, she's off being married. But Katie Baumgratz was her maiden name. I got invited to her wedding, married to Jordan Lightfoot. This is the invitation. And let me just indulge me for a second. I'm going to read you the invitation. Here's what it says. With love and great excitement, Katie Baumgratz and Jordan T. Lightfoot invite you to join them as they celebrate their marriage. Friday, August 24th at 6 o'clock in the evening, Watermark Community Church, 7540 LBJ Freeway, Dallas, Texas, 75251. And then at the bottom, it says this, dinner, dessert, and dancing to follow. Now, here's the thing. I don't know how Katie is possibly going to provide me dinner. I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna sit down at a table and waiters are gonna come put a plate in front of me and I'm just gonna have to eat what's given to me. I don't know if there's gonna be a buffet line. I don't know if it's gonna be like pre-prepared stuff or if it's I'm gonna have to put stuff together. I have no idea. But I didn't question for 1 second at 5 o'clock in the evening while I'm getting dressed and getting ready to go out to the door for the 6 o'clock wedding, whether or not I should go ahead and eat dinner beforehand because I'm not sure if Katie's gonna feed me. No, I came hungry to Katie's wedding because she invited me and she promised me she was gonna give me food. I didn't know how, but I knew it was gonna happen. And you know how I knew? Because I know Katie and I trust her. She's not gonna trick me. Katie's not gonna send out invitations and then we all show up and she's gonna be like, boom, you got took. No food. She's not gonna do that. That's not the kind of person Katie is. You know what the kind of person Katie is? She had Burger House here, grilling burgers outside. No, hot, fresh burgers, frying up fries outside. So I had burgers, I had fries. Then she had these girls over here with Bluebell scooping out ice cream into fresh baked cookies. I had this peanut butter cookie with chocolate Bluebell on it with another peanut butter cookie on top, and I ate it. There was all the LaCroix you could drink. I was trying new flavors of LaCroix that I'd never seen before. She had the regular cans and the tall, skinny cans. Yes. And then, this says dancing. The lights went off. The DJ started spinning. Guys, I came by faith ready to dance. I didn't know if there'd be a band or a DJ or maybe just some guy over humming in the corner, but I was gonna dance because Katie said there was gonna be dancing. The DJ started spinning and then Katie did this. She surprised me. She brought out glow sticks and glow necklaces and glow bracelets and then we were going crazy. And it was an amazing wedding. And I was actually surprised and delighted to have Burger House and to have the dessert that I had and to have the dancing that I enjoyed. And it was all because I trusted her invitation. Guys, we know how to do this. When someone invites you to something and makes a promise to you, you know how to believe them based on their character. So here's the challenge that comes out of this, guys. If you're having a hard time, this is where we're gonna wrap up. If you're having a hard time believing the promises that God has for you, I'm gonna diagnose this problem. It's because you don't know God. You don't know the character of Jesus. If you did, you would trust his promise. You wouldn't worry about how, because you know he would keep his promise. And you know he would surprise you and delight you and go above and beyond anything you could ask or imagine or expect out of that situation. And so it goes back to the invitation. Come to me. If you're having a hard time responding to that invitation and believing that promise, you need to come back to Jesus and learn his character and learn his person. Because when we know the character of the sender, we easily and even eagerly accept the invitation and we come by faith. So Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And here's some good news. This promise, it's not just in your Bible tonight. It's gonna be there tomorrow morning when you wake up. It's gonna be there every single day. And I think the invitation is this, that every single moment of every single day, we have the opportunity to bring our heavy burdens to Jesus. And I want you to see what happens when we do, because I learned this. And I began to bring all these burdens that you just watched me labor through and carry and hold on to, this whole message. When you bring them to Jesus, he can hold them. Now I'm free. I can move. I can rest. And I don't have to carry the burden anymore. The burdens go away? No, they're still there, but he's got it taken care of. Right now, he's helping me hold it. And maybe for a little bit, I'll be right there with him. But right now, I'm free and I'm walking around. But I know he's got it. You remember this kid, this high school kid? Let me tell you some of the things that I learned about Jesus and the rest that I've received as I've come to him. When I have come to Jesus, I'm not this kid anymore. Because I come to Jesus and I found unconditional love from God. I found an eternal inheritance. I learned about another kingdom. There's a kingdom of heaven. There's an eternity ahead. And I don't have to live for the kingdom of this world anymore. I've got a new family that's a part of this eternal kingdom. And so I don't have to perform. I don't have to fight for acceptance anymore. Those burdens are lifted. I'm free. I've learned about the constant presence of God. He is omnipresent. He is always with me. I've learned more and more about his power and his care and his concern for me. He's a good shepherd. And so the anxiety that I felt in my life, the stress, all of those burdens, the panic attacks that I had, burdens lifted. Jesus has shown me how to love his enemies and forgive. And the bitterness and the anger that I have felt from the hurt that has been caused to me in my life, those burdens have been lifted. And all of the guilt and the condemnation that I felt for being a prideful, judgmental jerk, for being a hypocrite and lusting, looking at pornography and keeping it a secret and hiding it, all of those things have been taken care of on the cross of Jesus Christ. Because this man, he was a perfect man, he was God. And yet he willingly offered himself as a sacrifice for my sins. And he did the same thing for you. And so step two is this, entirely trust God. Believing that a powerful and loving God exists, that is most displayed in Jesus Christ, we turn our lives completely over to him. You let it go. You come to him and you give him your burdens. Guys, there's a God who's willing and able to help you with your burdens, and Christianity is so much more than a prayer you pray one time to make sure you don't go to hell. It's a daily trusting relationship with him. And so if you have never come to Jesus, I'm telling you, there's tons of people in this room. There's peers, there's adult leaders. Any of us who are on staff, man, we want to tell you more about Jesus. And tonight, guys, if you're carrying a specific burden, you came in here with a rock or a set of rocks that have just been crushing you, and you just don't know how to bring that to Jesus. You don't like that look too easy to you? Like, how do I do that? Guys, we would love to give you a safe place just to talk about your burdens and ask questions about Jesus. And we'd love to point you to him. And so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray here and we're gonna dismiss. We're gonna go to the after party. We're gonna eat Krispy Kreme and all that. But I wanna invite you. If you're feeling burdened tonight, listen to me. You don't have to walk out of this room carrying the same burdens that you walked into this room carrying. So if you're feeling burdened, just stick around in here. Talk to God. Pray. If you don't know how to, just come talk to one of us and we'll point you to him. So let me pray. And Jesus, I thank you so much for the freedom that I feel just right now of not having to hold that bag and the reminder that is to me of the many burdens that you have lifted off of me as I have come to you. And Lord, I just admit and confess along with so many in this room that sometimes that's really hard to do. It's much easier just to come to more knowledge of you, to come to rooms that are about you,
to be around people that are about you, to pretend to come to you, than to actually stop, to center my heart, and to seek you. This world is so distracting, my flesh is so strong, but none of those things lift my burdens, they only add more. So Lord, I pray that you would give each of our hearts the desire and the focus and the ability to come to you with all of our weariness and all of our burdens. And I pray that there would be testimonies of many, many in this room that would find rest, that would find healing, that would find freedom and hope as they come to you. I thank you for your invitation. I pray that you'd strengthen us and give us the faith to accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed to the after party. Stick around in here if you want.